I look around and I see so much potential in this church. Solid Rock is full of people with potential. And you know what? We all have different gifts. We all have different talents. We all have different things that we can do. We have specialized people here, people that have had specialized training. And then we got just the common laborer. But then we have those that have been educated for a particular service or a work that they do. And I thank God. I believe that dreams are being fulfilled at Solid Rock. I believe we have seen people watch them have their dreams fulfilled, and they're not finished. They've just been taking little steps. There's, you know, I've watched just different people change jobs, get a raise, change jobs, get a raise, and God's just blessed them, and they're not stopping. They're continuing to move towards the top, and I thank God for vision. How many knows without a vision, people cast off restraints? You know what that means? They just they have no. There's nothing to guide them or to guard them. And so I thank God that there's visions and dreams and promises that are coming to pass at Solid Rock. If you're one of those, would you just raise your hand and be a witness this morning that the visions and dreams of God are coming to pass in your life? Yeah, look at this. Look at this. Amen. From the youngest to the oldest, and I kind of wish the teens were down here this morning. But you know, God's excited about you. I think God's more excited about you than you're excited about yourself. God is excited about you. In fact, the Bible says, do we have this scripture in Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 17, something like that? I think we do. I think we do. What, hon? 3:17. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. Notice, he's living among us. Let's don't just skip a word. He is living among us. And he is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. Everybody say gladness. Gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. That's what God thinks of you, Steve Slope. That's what God thinks of you, Luke Hale. He rejoices over you with songs. Now, let me tell you what that word rejoice means, because some of you think that just means ha, 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 ha. No, rejoice means dance, skip, leap, and spin around in joy. God leaps, dances, spins around in joy over every one of you. Do y'all believe that this morning? Do you really believe that? Amen. So I believe God's excited about the destiny and the vision that he's put in our hearts. He's excited about those things that he has placed in you before you were ever born. God put them in there before you were ever shaped in your mother's womb. He put gifts and talents. He put dreams. And as we grow and as we mature, we begin to develop those things. And we begin to believe God and see those things coming to pass. And today, I want you to listen really, really close. I want to talk to your heart. I don't want to talk to people that aren't here today. I mean, I will talk to those online. But I want to talk to people that are listening to this message today, and please don't get distracted. Take notes, listen closely, because I want you to forget about all your problems, forget about all your plans for this next week, forget about everything you got going on, everything that's overwhelming you, and I want you to give God a chance to call you out today. Today, this is just for me, not tomorrow. Not some other time, but God has a word for me today. Now, how many knows this is, according to Robert Kramer and the flags and the posters, this is Missions Month at Solid Rock Family Church? Well, it is, whether you believe it or not. This is Missions Month, and your excitement overwhelms me, but it is Missions Month. And now, I've already heard someone say, well, I'm not called to foreign missions. So this doesn't pertain to me. I don't even have to be here. I don't have to go to church. But I want to tell you something. These people that say global missions is just an option for people, you know, that just called to that. I want to tell you something. That's not right. Every one of us has been called to global missions. Some of you frowning at me. Every one of us have been called to foreign missions. I didn't say everyone was called to go live in a hut in Africa. I didn't say everybody was to go live on the water in Asia. But I did say we are all called to be missionaries. I believe that is the complete purpose of Christianity. To mission, to what? Get the word out, to spread the gospel, to make disciples, to tell everybody in the world that Jesus loves them and died for their sins and they don't have to go to hell. Amen. And all you've got to do to be saved is believe. How simple is that? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what Paul and Silas told the jailer. All he had to do was believe, and his household was saved. So we exist as a church. And some of the things that I'm going to say today, I may have said last week, and I'm probably not going to get through this whole sermon today, but we'll find an exit ramp somewhere along the way. But we exist to spread the gospel. And we all have different callings, different anointings. We have a president of a bank that's here today. We have a locksmith that is here today. We have some people that work at Boeing that are here today. And you can thank God that the strike's going to be over with real soon. We've got some people that are IT guys that work with computers and work around. We have a doctor or some doctors here in the church today. We have different people. You may be a lawyer. You may be a plumber. You might be an electrician. You might just be a handyman, but every one of us has something that God has placed in our hearts to do and to play a part in spreading the gospel everywhere we go. Amen. We can't all go to the hospital to witness. So what do? We send Michaela and what's your name? Yeah, I know your name's Carissa. And Carissa. See, I just kind of played this little game with you so y'all can help me, because I like audience participation. Okay, so we send them to the hospital. They go to the hospital. What do? They witness to those people there. I can't get into Boeing, but you know what? There's some people that can, and they can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. I can't get into Iran. Listen to this. I can't get into Iran to preach the gospel, but guess what? Darlene's book can. There's places we can't go. Azerbaijan, we cannot get into Azerbaijan. I've been there 2 times, but they shut the door to evangelical Christians. We cannot get into Azerbaijan right now, but guess what? Darlene's book can. Amen. We all play a part in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere we go in the world. And we got to let the world know Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. That's one of the most simplest songs that we learned in Sunday school, but it's still a living song today. He tells us he loves us so. Now, have you ever heard anybody say this? Well, my heart's for America. My heart's for America. My heart's for Washington, D.C. God just wants me to pray for Washington, D.C. Well, if you think that's true, I want to tell you something. Who's God's heart for? Is God's heart for the world? Is your heart just for 4%? Is your heart 4% of God's heart? Because that's all America is, 4% of the world. Now listen, people, we've got a great responsibility. And we can do it with joyfulness and cheerfulness and not put our heads down and think, well, this is missions month. Pastor Rhodes is going to condemn me into going to Myanmar. No, I'm not. But if you want to go, if you want to go with us, and I was praying about this on the way to church this morning. And I've decided that more of you need to get involved in these missions trips that we're doing. And I believe that God's going to open the door for some of you to go with us. Now, that's going to increase our cost, because if you go, we can't just get by in a car. We have to rent a van, which is okay. We've done that many, many times. It means we're going to have more rooms at the hotel. It means you're going to eat more food. And so everything's going to go up. But you know, it's worth the trip. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the investment. We've had people take vacations to go on a missions trip. We've had people take their honeymoon. Can you believe that? On a missions trip. Crazy. So we're all called to live our lives with passion, with purpose, and we should, as a church, we should be excited about the Great Commission. Amen? Amen. Anybody going to help me preach today? Amen. Do you know there is a certain atmospheric condition that takes place when we hang these flags and we hang these posters every October? When I come in, and Dwayne, God bless you, man. I never say, Dwayne, make sure you put those up. It's October. It's time for missions. He makes sure that those, I don't know if he does it, but he makes sure it gets done. Every year, and we come in these banners, and that's not an easy job to do, is it, Dwayne? And we, these things are up. And you know what? There's an excitement to us about the month of October. Anybody? Come on, church. Anybody excited about October? It's more, to me, it's more exciting about Missions Month than it is Pastor Appreciation Month. You know what? We got 11 other months to appreciate the pastor, but man, I love to focus on October Missions Month. Now, I was asked the other day, and I think it's a good question. If we are a missions-minded church, why do we have to take the posters down every year? Hello? Those are faces of real people, and every time you look at them, it should be a reminder that we should be praying for the nations of the world. And I told this person, I will address it in staff meeting today, but I just think I've already addressed it. I think we're going to leave them up. I think we need to leave these posters up. And somebody says, well, it messes up the aesthetics. It messes up the sound. It messes up the lighting. So what? It's propagating what we believe for at Solid Rock, to preach the gospel to every nation, every ethnicity, every people group in the world. Can we just leave those up? Okay. We're so blessed to be involved in world missions. And you know what? That ought to excite you, Solid Rock. Maybe you don't go, but you know what? It ought to excite you that your church is involved in world missions and reaching people and helping people. Now listen, how many knows that Bonterre is part of Around the World? Somebody thinks when I say around the world, that means we don't do anything at home. How many knows Farmington is part of Around the World? So when I say world missions, I'm not eliminating our local missions. It's all part of missions. Amen? And I'm so excited about the heritage of our church. Now, I don't know what it's going to look like when Darlene and I are 6 foot under and got new people in here pastoring, and what's going to happen, I don't know. But I would like to think that the legacy continues of a mission-supporting church and a missions-going church, a missions-giving church on a regular basis. Amen. And I pray you don't quit when we die. Amen. I pray you just continue to support your church, be a part of this mission. Be a part of this mission in Jesus' name. So we are continually growing our missions. We're continually reaching out. We're continually giving. I didn't confer with my wife before I was going to say this, and I probably should have. But you know, we're reaching further now than we ever have before. It's so much fun to just, you know, just 2 weeks ago, we made a commitment to Uganda, to a Ugandan bishop, that we were going to support his ministry, but we're only starting out at $100 a month. And it's a low amount, but to them, it's a lot of money. And we're just started out at $100 a month. That puts us investing in Tanzania, Kenya, and Uganda, East Africa. And what a joy it is to be able to give to those nations. And this bishop is what a blessing he is. Excuse me. So we committed $100 a month. And now that may not be much to you, but we've given a whole lot more than that. Now, I want to just say, if I can get this right. This last week, between Monday and Friday, we gave $1,000 to help start a Georgian church in New York City. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so when the missions department gave $1,000, WAW gave $500, and there's a Georgian church that's being started in New York City for the Georgian people and for the Russian-speaking people, and they got a bunch of them over there. I sound like Donald Trump just then, didn't I? This last week, we sent $1,000 to North Carolina to help those that are victims of the hurricane through the Appalachian and the North Carolina area. You know, we don't just talk about, well, we're going to send them a dollar and them a dollar and them a dollar. No, we believe in what we're talking about. Listen to me. We believe in what we're doing here. We're not a rich church. We are not a rich, yeah, maybe I should say yet. We have a rich God. And someday God's going to just keep pouring it on us. But you know what? The key is, as it comes in, send it out. As it comes in, send it out. If it all comes in and we don't send it out, how many know we'll become a dead church like the Dead Sea? The Dead Sea is because it receives and receives, but it never exports. And that's what Solid Rock is going to continue. As long as I'm the pastor, we will be exporting finances to places around the world. What did I say? $1,000 to the Georgian, $1,500 to North Carolina. I think, Darnie, help me on this. I'm not sure how much I give to River Point. Was it $500 or $1,000? I gave $1,000. We gave $1,000. Actually, we gave almost $2,000 to help complete the building at River Point on the campground. That's all in just this one week. Does that make you mad? Does that upset your apple cart? Does that excite you? Yes. I'm glad that we can do it because, Doc, I'm telling you something. I saw a few years ago, when we couldn't give anything to anybody. We couldn't even pay our bills. She had to go in and talk to the president of the First State Bank every Monday morning and ask them to have patience with us. We went for months without a salary. I don't like to brag on that, but we went for months and months without a salary. Our kids know this. How many knows it's pretty good when your kids support you? But thank God those days are over. This is the day of the favor of the Lord. This is a new time. This is a new season. Now, we're still not a rich church by any means. And by rich, I don't mean we got tens of thousands of dollars in the savings account. Not at all. But we have enough coming in that we can pay our bills and give out. Isn't that good news? Over $2,000 to River Point to help them complete that new building so that our kids can go down there, give their heart to Jesus, draw closer to Jesus, answer the call of Jesus on their lives, and come back spiritually blessed. That's what it's all about. It's not about horseback riding and canoeing and floating and kayaking. It's about getting close to Jesus. And am I boring anybody today? Man, I am so excited. My heart's about to jump out of my whatever this is, chest, yeah. We just sent this last week to Burma to help the Bible school and the church. And I don't even know how much we sent to Burma. What was that total amount we sent? $400 to Burma just this last week. I don't know how good you are. I just sent $500 2 weeks before from WAW. WAW just sent $500 the week before. We sent $400 last week. Come on, folks. Do you know what we do? We still help the local people. We still help our church. We still help our people. Many, many times we've paid electric bills, helped on rent, helped on car payments. And you know what? God is faithful. You know what, Steve? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Have you ever been on the receiving end? Where if somebody doesn't give you something, you're not going to make it through the week. I would much rather be on the giving end than on the getting end. And I believe God will continue to bless Solid Rock as we give freely. And we give cheerfully. Listen, if we're not giving cheerfully, God's not going to bless us. And God will always bless a missions giving church. How many knows God doesn't bless tightwads? Do you know, listen, now I'm not going to talk about any church, but there are some churches that have such a huge savings account. They have such huge accounts, but they won't spend it. They don't give to missions. They just, if they want to do a little project around their church, they got the money to do it, but they don't spread it out. Listen, church, we'll never be that kind of a church. And I got one more thing to say to you, and then I'll continue on with my notes. You thought I was done, didn't you? Is this okay? We believe, let me ask Darlene. Darlene, when's this building going to be paid off? Because I was asked that this last week, and I couldn't give an answer. Darlene would say, for those of you that can't hear, by summer of 2025, this property will be paid off. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, maybe before. But you know, we have people in the church that's giving $1,000 at a time on the principle of the church. We have people that are constantly giving to help pay this church off. And you know what? We have been confessing that for years and years and years. We have been believing it. You guys know, you've been here, believing it. And we declare that this church is paid off and that we're going to have a mortgage burning ceremony. You've heard the spiel. And you know what? We're going to. Now, Steve, I know that don't make bankers happy. Okay. Bankers don't want you to pay the notes off, do they? They want to keep those notes going. But this one makes him happy. That makes me happy, too. And it's going to be a wonderful day because you know how long we've been paying on this building? It's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your mind. We have been paying on this building for 40 years. We have been paying on it for 40 years. Sometimes we only paid interest payments, Luke. You know, sometimes we've only been able to just go pay interest payments. We borrowed some to build this extension on because we added 80 by 60 to the old auditorium, and that was included in that. But I'm going to tell you something. That 40 years of the wilderness, 40 years of the flood, right? There's a lot of 40 years in the Bible, and you know what? I tell you what, we're coming to the end of our 40 years. Somebody give God a praise. Woo, that makes me so happy, happy, happy. Yeah, yeah. So I thank you for your willingness to give. You know, and we said one of the purposes of this month is to make people aware of what we do. And, you know, it would be all right if you prayed about asking the Lord how much you could increase your giving just for the missions budget. WAW gives thousands of dollars. Thousands of dollars. The church gives thousands of dollars. But how much more could we do if we decided, you know what, I'm going to tithe 10%, I'm going to give in the offering 5%, and I'm going to give 5% missions. Could you imagine how much more we could do? Stretch. How many of you'll never get strong until you stretch those muscles, amen? And so I told you last week or 2 weeks ago, we need to lengthen our cords and strengthen our stakes. Can somebody smile at me? I'm not even halfway done yet. Hey, would you hit those lights for me? I'd like to watch a video here of Myanmar. How many's ever heard of Burma? Heard of Myanmar? If you get an opportunity, go to Amazon Prime and buy the movie or rent the movie Burma Rangers. Burma Rangers. I think it's only like $1.99 or $2.99, and all of that goes back to the Burma Rangers. So check it out, and you will see why we believe in supporting Calm and Nini and the Bible College in, I'm trying to think of the city, Tungzi or something like that. Darlene had just preached at a ladies' conference in Myanmar. Nini, she preached on go for it or something like that. And Nini said afterwards, I'm going for it. The next day, she got some ladies from her church to gather together, and they got in a van and they drove to a Buddhist festival. Thousands of Buddhists at a festival. And they went in there with their tracts sharing Jesus. And many, many, many Buddhists were converted because of that. And they didn't just stay one day. They stayed the whole week preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ any way they could to those Buddhist people. Thank you, WAW, for your sensitiveness. We rode in those boats, didn't we, hon? We rode in those boats and went around to those communities. And this next little video is about the books. We couldn't get the books into Russia, but somebody in Georgia would help us smuggle them in into Russia. So when the book was translated in Russian, we sent 1,000 or 500, I don't remember, to Russia. This was not 2 weeks ago. This is an older video. Tiffany was so cute back then, wasn't she? They had to hide them in their cars to get them across the border. We know because we've done that before and they've taken them from us. You'd have thought you'd given them a huge Christmas gift, and it was just a book. But look at those smiles. I have a lot of videos, but I just wanted to share that little one with you this morning, and you may have seen it before, but thank you, Jesus. Can we just take a minute and worship God? Can we just thank God for what He's doing? Father, we thank You for what You're doing through Solid Rock around the world. We thank You, Father. We're just a small church, just a small portion that we're giving, but God, I thank You that You're using it, and You're stretching those dollars to reach people around the world, and thank You, Jesus, for all of those that are being touched, whether it's by the book or whether it's by the spoken word, or whether however it comes, Lord, we just thank You that we're able to help people in Jesus' name. John chapter 20 and verse 21 says, "As the Father has sent Me," Jesus is speaking, "so send I you." Who's you? Who's you? You is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You is you. Everybody say, "Me is you." Say, "You is me." As the Father has sent you, so as the Father has sent Me, so send I you. There was a man in John chapter 1 that says, there was a man sent from God. You know who that was? John the Baptist. He was a man sent from God. He came to bear witness of the light. He was not the light, but He came to bear witness of the light. But you know what else He said? I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make way for the Lamb of God, the voice of one. Did you hear me? The voice of one. If you're in a line at Starbucks and you pay for somebody's coffee behind you, do you know that you've just done missions? Think about it. That happens to me all the time. So I love doing it to other people. I love to bless other people. But if you're in the line at a grocery store and you see a little widow trying to search through her food stamps and try to find in her money, and you just say, "Hey, keep it. I'll take care of it." Do you know that's a missions project? Everything we do to spread the kindness of God is a missions project. Amen. Do you ever go to a restaurant, see somebody you don't know, but something on the inside says, just love on them, and you go tell the waiter, "I want to pick up their tab. Don't tell them I did it. Just tell them somebody took care of it." You know, that's a missional project. I believe Solid Rock is a missions church. I believe we're a liberal church. I believe we're a giving church. And you know why? You know why we're so blessed? Because we are a giving church. If you have not yet learned to give freely, to give without restraint, without what's the word I'm thinking of? What do you say when you tell somebody what to do with their money? Restrictions? You just give it to them to bless them. I tell you what, God's got some good stuff. Amen. Amen. I am so excited. I'm only on page 4 of 8. Random acts of kindness. Amen. I'll skip that. I tell you what, I want Christy to come up here. Christy, you come up here, and if you would. We've had, Christy and Luke has been with us on so many missions trips, and we let them speak. They're good speakers. Now, Bruce Harris went with me for many years before I let him speak, and then I only gave him 10 minutes. But then it began to grow, and he began to develop into a better speaker. But listen, when you go one time, you will never be the same. And you know what? Anybody can go. And my wife will probably shoot me for this, but I am giving you an invitation that whenever we go, if you want to go, you've been to Africa, haven't you? What do you think about it? Oh my gosh, it's just unbelievable. Now, I had somebody used to come to church here, and they got mad at me and Darlene, or Darlene and I. They got mad at us. How'd I do? Did I correct it okay, Darlene and I? Darlene and me? Okay. I forgot what I was... I'm not an I? Okay, I'll be me. You gotta be me. Gosh, Lord help me. Where am I going? Anyway, he used to help receive offerings for our missions trips. And he, all of a sudden, he got a burr under his saddle. Have you ever known church people can get burrs under their saddles? And they quit for the craziest reasons. And you know what he said? I'm quitting this church because I am tired of funding the Rhodes' exotic vacations. Yeah, the boldness of some people. I'm not going to support the Rhodes' exotic vacations. I wanted to say, if you really think it is, why don't you go with us sometime? Because I'm going to tell you something. When you're in hotels that don't have hot water and don't have heat, and like they did 2 years ago, bring us a hot water bottle for heat at night, it's everything except an exotic vacation. We've stayed places, and this couple's been, there's no electricity, no water, the food is so basic, you better take your snacks with you. And I do. I fill up a suitcase full of snacks. But you never know what you're going to get fed over there. So all I'm saying is, listen, if you want to go, make a plan. Get a passport. Go with us sometime. It'll cost you. Yeah, it'll cost you. You may have to give up a vacation week. You may have to give up some money. But you want to tell you something. That'll be the best investment you ever made in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. How many loves me still? Can you say this? Oh, how I love my pastor. I watched your lips. You didn't say it. Christy, just share a little bit with us. And then Luke, you share with us.
So as we were sitting here this morning, Pastor had asked me earlier, I'm like, okay, I know what I'm going to say. And then as I was sitting here, God really started putting some things in my heart. So I may take a minute longer than I anticipated. But, okay, so listen. When I was a kid, I went to a Baptist church. First, I went to a Nazarene church because my neighbors took me because my parents didn't go to church. My neighbors would come and get me. They invested in me. That was mission work. Then my mom decided when I was about 14, why am I sending you with somebody else? Let's go to church together, Chris. That's what she always called me. So we went to church together. I was telling Bradley the other night, my mom and I got baptized together. And I told the preacher, I'm just a kid. I said, listen, I want to be baptized like Jesus. I want to be baptized in the river. You're not doing it in that bathtub thing at church. And he was like, you got it, girl. Packed up and took us to the river because that's what I wanted. With my mom, my best friend. It was beautiful. Then at some point I started thinking, you know, I wonder if there's more to this gospel thing. And so I became really close friends with a lady who went to an Assembly of God church. So I started going to Elvin's Assembly of God. Run down, janko church. go down these rackety, crazy old stairs to get to the bottom, to go to Sunday school in this stinky basement to listen to the Word of God, changed my life. I remember being a little girl. Two things that stand out. Number one, there was a teenage girl. We'd sit on the front row. Honestly, she was probably 15, and she had a baby. And I remember holding that baby. That baby's name was Angel. She was stunk. That little girl didn't know how to take care of that baby. I didn't know how to take care of a baby. I hold that baby every time I had a chance in church, and I'd love on her, and I'd love on her mama. The second thing I remember about that church is, like, every Sunday or so, I don't remember if it was once a quarter or what, but they had Mission Sunday. It changed my life. And I remember sitting, and I would bawl, and I would bawl, and I would bawl, and I thought, why am I crying? Why am I crying? And I would cry, just a little girl. I mean, I was like 19. I had multiple jobs as a kid. I went to college full time. I paid for my college. I worked nights. I would babysit. I nannied. And I remember sitting in that church on a Sunday night. And they passed the bucket for missions. And I remember picking up my purse and digging to the bottom and giving everything I had. I'm just a kid. But I remember thinking, God, there's something real about missionaries. These people are giving their lives. They're giving their time. And it ministered so deeply to me. I couldn't wait for those Sundays. I couldn't wait for them to talk about Mission Sunday and for me to hear what was going to be said and for me to dig in my purse and find all the money I could and give it, not caring about the next day. And God changed my life. I was going to school. Didn't know why I was going to school. I was praying and praying, like, why am I going to school? Finally figured it out. I was going to be a teacher. But when I graduated, I just had such a heart for missions that I talked to Wycliffe Bible translators. And I'm like, I wonder if I can do some work. And so they told me that I could work for them. I had to raise some money, and I had to go to this training. So I boarded a plane by myself. One of my philosophy instructor, actually, Letitia, drove me to the airport. I fly to California by myself to go to missionary training. And my placement is Cameroon, Africa. And so I'm going to this missionary training, and remember them teaching us different ways that people would take communion. And I mean, I was just sucking it all up. Like, it was so good. But in the meantime, I've met a guy. Oh, brother, these men. So I've met a guy. And, you know, he's my, still at the Assembly of God. It's the pastor's son. So he and I are dating, and I go to this missionary training, and I come back, and I'm so excited, and I get in the truck to drive home, and I hear this noise. And I'm like, are those beer bottles rattling around in the back? Yeah, partied while you were gone, blah, blah, blah. In my heart, I'm thinking, I mean, I just wanted to choke him. I thought, do you not understand that there's more to life? It's a very tough time, and I had to make some very difficult decisions. And I prayed and I prayed. I remember waking my mom up in the middle of the night, and I'm like, Mom, I don't know if I can marry him. And God specifically spoke to me, and I married him. And it was hell. It was hell. I can tell you about domestic violence. I can tell you about alcoholism. I can tell you about all kinds of things that nobody knows about my life, but I lived it. Don't know why I lived it, but I would do it all again because I know it was God's plan for my life. Then I met Luke Hale. Dear God in heaven, I would have never picked Luke Hale to be my husband. And Luke Hale would never have picked me. Like, it just, nothing about us added up. But I ended up at this church. Listen, my church closed the door, shut down. I ended up at this church, and I ended up with Luke. And I am praising God on the front row where Alex and Dara are. And the Holy Spirit so clearly spoke to me. We were singing a song about going and missions. And I remembered that call in my heart. I remembered that seed that was sown in me. And God spoke to me and told me that I would go. And I did. I did go. I've been with pastors. And it changed my life more than I ever knew it could change my life. It was beautiful. And when I got to go to Africa, I mean, that was the kicker, going to Africa. I mean, I got off the airplane and we were driving and I said, I have walked into the pages of National Geographic. Like, seriously, it was just like somebody opened the magazine and I stepped inside. And it was phenomenal. I'm not done going. I haven't been for a while. I'm not done. I'm still going to go. But I give. Luke and I both give. But this was one of the most monumental things. And Bella was teaching a couple weeks ago. I said all that to say, if God's planted in your heart dreams and visions, as Pastor started out this sermon with, don't think they're dead. Don't think they're gone. Don't think he's forgotten you, because he hasn't. He hasn't and he won't. His plans will be fulfilled in your life. There are people that need you. They need who you are, and they need the gifts that he's put inside you. They even changed the mission trip. Hi, Annabelle. They even changed the mission trip to summer so I could go, because I was a teacher. And they changed the dates so we could go in the summer so that I could go, which was just amazing. But so we are in the Republic of Georgia, and we have been in meetings, and she's having the ladies' meetings. And like we've talked about before, we have the ladies' meetings here, and then she takes them there. We have the ladies' meetings here, and then she takes them there. And we have this big ladies' meeting, and people come in. And we are sitting in the bishop's office, and I'm here, and Siuri and Bella are sitting across from me, and they're chatting. And her English is very broken, and she's talking, and Bella just, like, big lump in her throat, and she stops, and she's like, what? And she calls for Cote, and she's like, Cote, come here. Can you translate this? And this is what got me. So we go, and we think we're doing conferences for ladies, right? It doesn't stop there. We thought it stopped there. Been going for years. She had no idea. We left, and we came home. But Siri took that word, and she took that message, and she took that conference, and she went to the country churches. She went here, and she went there, and she went here, and she went there, and she went out to more ladies and more ladies and more ladies. We thought we were leaving and coming back, and the conference was over. Girls, it had just begun, because she took that word, that gospel, to her nation. She went and would do all of the things from the conference to all of the local ladies, and we had no idea it was happening. And that moment in that office, it changed Darlene Rhodes, and it changed Christy Hill, because we, you know, it is not about you. It is not about you. It's never been about you. And she's always known that. But to hear Siri say, and she just said it so matter-of-factly, like she was just like, it was no big deal. Well, yes, of course I do. I've been doing that. Yeah, we go. I go, and I go and minister, and we go. And that's what the gospel is, folks. That's who we are called to be. We don't get this gift from God and hold it in our hand. Pastor talks about being open and giving. If we get this gift of God and we hold it in our hand, are we in a position of giving? You have to let go. You have to let go of what he gives you to give back. And there are people, Darlene Rubel, who need who you are and need what you have. And no matter what we've been through, no matter what our past looks like, there are people that need Jesus. And sometimes we're persecuted. And sometimes we don't understand why. But it's okay, because it's all part of the gospel. Listen, God is so good, and I am so thankful. And there is so much more for this church and for his people. I'm excited to see who the people are that go on the mission trip. You open the door, it'll change you forever. You'll never be the same. Don't think you're ever going to be the same, because you won't. Every kid needs to go on a mission trip. I'm not kidding. When we went to Mexico on our honeymoon with Young and Penny Reed, I love Young and Penny. And we went, and we saw those kids. We saw those families living in the trash dump. And we built a house this big and saw their joy, as big as the sound booth. And saw their joy and their gratitude. It'll change you forever. People need what we have to offer. It's not an exotic vacation. It's brokenness. But we give the hope of Jesus. Amen.
Can I have a few more minutes, Pastor? Or do you ready? So one thing that, you know, I can't help but see over this, every year in Mission Months, this is important to me, because we have people that come in our church that are single moms that are struggling financially, and I'm going somewhere with this, so just stick with me. Or maybe you're struggling in your marriage financially, and you're like, how is it possible for me to give to help other people? And it's this church, all that's continually asking me for money, because trust me, I've been coming here for 30 years, and it seems we're always asking for money. And you know, our church does always ask for money. You know why? Because there's a lot of needs out there, right? But here's the thing. Don't ever feel that there's any condemnation or you're being forced or asked to do. You're being asked, say, hey, here's an opportunity. If you want to do it, do it. Because I get it. My mom was, we didn't have anything. And there was times we couldn't always give. But you know what? The opportunity is there. Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always. There will always be needs. There's no condemnation in this church. But there's this amazing quote on the internet that it's really going to rattle some people. It said, a crackhead gets up every morning and they find a way to get their fix. I'm not going to let a crackhead outdo me. Come on now. They find their fix, even though it's a worldly thing. So why can't I find a few dollars? Why can't I scrape and maybe not go to get the extra pack of cigarettes or the extra case of beer this weekend? Maybe I can drop a dollar in the bucket. And you say, well, I'm getting real. Because I realize, hey, folks, we do things. We're real people. We do things that we could cut back. There's always something to do. We were broke. We had nothing. But, and I'll tell you what, being broke is overrated. Being poor is overrated. I've been there. I've done that. I came out of what I know now would be tough times when we literally didn't have money, when mom would bring the extras from Pete's Inn so we could eat. I get it, not having money. So when I get up here and testify, don't ever think that I'm saying, well, he's got a good job. No, I've been broke. I've been poor. It's overrated. But you know what? Through all that, you know what I always did? My mama taught me to always give. And the way to get out of poverty is not to withhold. It's to open your hand. Because when you open your hand, God will begin to move through it. And you know why we go to these other countries? You know why? And you say, why don't we go to churches in America? Because churches in America don't ask us to come. I saw Bishop Solomon last week said, please, I beg you, come to my country. Maybe if you want us to help your community, just ask. They're begging for help. They want the gospel. So this is what's going on in my head, this word that I have. Pastor talked about this. He said that there's people in the community, they know the gospel here. So what you do is, to American church, you show the told, but you tell the untold. I'm going to unpack that. So what you do is, the people you work with, show them the love of God, because there's probably a 99% chance that they've heard about Jesus, because most people in America, so why don't you show them Jesus? Instead of just saying, well, I go to church on Sunday, and we had a word, and we speak in tongues. You know, that don't mean nothing to a single mom who her husband has left her, her kids are on drugs, she has nothing. You know what? She needs the arms of God wrapped around her. Maybe she needs help with some groceries. Maybe you show up and don't judge her, and while she's smoking and cussing and dropping every bomb in the book, you just say, hey, I love you. And don't be so religious when people cuss. You know what? You can just let God filter it out. You know what? You're not that important. You know what? You're not that special that you can't be around someone that drops a few words. I've worked in the world for years. I've heard every dirty joke, everything. You know what? Jesus was right down there in the mud with them. And this is real Christianity. Yeah, you can have the nicest suit and you can sit on the pew, and that don't mean nothing to someone that's hurting. And that's what we can do. We can show the told in America, and then we can tell the untold in other countries. So we take that word and we take it. And you know what? That's why when we ask for opportunities to give, we do it. So you know what? When Jesus said in a word, he said, you'll be able to give to every good work. He didn't say the amount. So what if you're a single mom and you have a roll of pennies? That's $1, that'd be 100 pennies. What if every time the offering bucket come by for every, whether it's women around the world, you dropped a penny in that bucket? Because, you know, I know the Lord, when you give unto him, he makes things happen. And a revelation that I have about the kingdom of God is if you take care of my house, I will take care of yours. And when you take care of the Father's business, like Jesus said, I'm about the Father's business. And, you know, we talked a couple Wednesday nights ago. There's people that get mad about me in church when I testify about God's goodness. I've literally had members come up to me and said, your mom would be ashamed of you because of the way you talk. See? In this church, people that used to go here, because I would talk about, pastor used to have me do offering teachings about how God's blessed me. I ain't broke and I ain't gonna be broke. You know why? Because I give my way out of poverty, and I keep giving, and I keep giving. And when Christy and I first got married, she didn't understand this giving thing. The one thing I actually taught her, she says, Luke, you're such a giver. She says, I've never seen anybody give, because you know what? I give when no one else sees. Just like integrity is doing the right thing when no one's around, I give because I love God. And I know that if I give one day, there will be people in heaven. Maybe I never even told them about Jesus, but I paid a light bill. that I delivered them groceries in their hour of need. Come on now. You can show the love of God with finances. So when I get a raise at work, what do? I said, oh, this is good. Automatically, I go in. I'm, you know, pastor is saying, I do everything online. I pay my tithes. What do? I go in, boop, boop, boop. Guess what? Church gets 10 more, gets the new rate. Bam. Because see, when I do good at work, see, your life isn't about you. When you do good at work, you know what? And you make more money, it ain't to go buy the other boat, which another boat's nice and God will give you all those things. But you know what? I got churches that need built. I got people that need to hear about the gospel because when I go to heaven, my boat ain't coming with me. My 170 class Boone and Crockett buck ain't coming with me for all you deer hunters. It ain't coming. Boy, it's going to sit right on the wall and it's going to go up in flames. But what will come with me with that little old lady in the remote parts of Tanzania that says, Luke, you sent resources. I'm like, who are you? I don't know you. She says, but I know you. I know the name Luke Hale because you know what? You sent that offering. You reached deep and you sacrificed maybe the steak on Sunday. Now, see, that's what I'm saying. And it's just, I'm just going to meddle here. We're going to preach. So there's people when we're talking about fasting. Oh, I have a meddle. First thing, Lord, help me, Jesus. The first thing when we talk about fasting in this church, the first thing I always hear, well, I have a medical condition. I have a medical condition. I'm going to, and maybe, Lord Jesus, help me. But the same folks will go out and eat absolutely horrible, but they can't give up a piece of that unhealthy food for the kingdom of God. I've seen kids give up candy. I've seen kids give up pizza because they want to fast and do something for the kingdom of God. See, this isn't a Christianity that we come to church on Sunday and we walk out and say, oh, that was good. We had our church service. That means nothing. The devil loves the American church because that's why we don't see the miracles, the signs and wonders, because you know what? The devil is, the churches in America are full of unbelief because they don't believe the miracles. They don't believe that demons can be cast out because the devil has this cloak over the American church, a lot of American churches. And I believe God is, there's going to be another awakening in America, and you're going to see the signs and wonders in the true power of the Holy Ghost, not somebody selling miracle water on TBN or on TV. You're going to see the true power of God manifested in America like it is in other countries because American people are going to wake up. How much does our country have to be on fire before we believe the power of the Holy Spirit? The reason in Myanmar they know, because what did they say in the word? The more they persecuted them, much more the church abounded. And what are we going to do? And I believe God's using this church, not only in this country. What did he say in the word? He said, first starting your Jerusalem in Farmington. Then what did he say? Judea. So let's say our state, we'll call California Samaria because they're interesting. Love you, Californians. If you know your Bible story, history, you get why I'm going there. And then to the uttermost parts of the world. To build the kingdom, for it's a kingdom that doesn't die with rot and decay and things. You know, we built our house on, what are we building our lives on? We're building them on our financial prosperity, our 401k, our benefits. We're going to vote this guy in. Trust me, Donald Trump is not your savior. He may be an instrument. Can you serve God if Kamala Harris gets elected? Full-term abortion is allowed in America. Amendment 3 passes, and it's illegal to profess the name of Jesus in public. Do you dare to be a Christian in such a time as this? Could you stand and walk? What does it take in America before we get back to our knees, begin to fast, pray, and seek God? See, I'm speaking to everybody here. I'm speaking to the single mom who has nothing. It's broken, peri-peri light bill. I'm speaking to the guy that's got a 401k so fat he could build 25 churches across the world. It doesn't matter. In the end, you'll stand before the king. And what did you do with my son, Jesus? That's what this church is about. It's about loving the homosexuals. It's about loving people and honoring them and getting the eyes off yourself. Because you know what? I can take all my money to heaven with me. I can have all my benefits, my assets. I could be the CEO of Boeing and be one of the richest people in America and have nothing if I don't do nothing with the name of Jesus. And see, the thing is, God's getting to the point. He's saying, yeah, you're saved. You're going to make it into heaven. But why don't you do something for me? You'll do stuff for your kids. You'll take your kids to every soccer practice, every baseball practice, every practice that's under the sun. But we can't make a midweek service for Jesus. See, I'm being real now. Because we can do all this. Well, I'm busy. I'm tired. I got an appointment. Jesus could have said that in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, I don't have time. I got to go get my nails done. And these days, you know what I'm talking about. I'm busy, God. I don't have time for the Father's business. And what did Jesus do? He said, not my will, Father, but your will be done. What are you doing? What's God's will for your life? Every person in here has a plan.
And I kind of heard something this morning in praise and worship. Here, a little prayer must have worked. It was like, it was so much bigger than me, impossible in my life. And I just said, so be it, Lord. Because you get to a point when God tells you something that actually kind of scares you. It's so big. All you need to say is, so be it. Because if we get in ourselves and start limiting God, what did he rebuke his people for? For limiting the Holy One of Israel. See, Alex, I know you're going to go on mission trips. I know that. I can see you in Africa and Dare preaching, maybe even silently, but I can see you preaching. The enemies come against you mentally, physically. Those things you've struggled with, brother, I'm telling you, this is from God. Those things you have struggled with that have held you back. You went through a lot of hell, not even Darren, nobody knows. God says those days are behind you. You're going forward, brother. You are going to the other side. This job at the state or wherever you're working, that's just temporary. God's got bigger plans for you. God's got bigger plans than Boeing. I'm telling you, man. The grunt preacher is going to be going global because you know what? He's got a channel on YouTube. Subscribe to it. Little plug for him. Hook up. He preaches. Alex, it's time to fire that up. You know what I'm saying? Every week. There you go. So I'm telling you, God's got a plan. If you're struggling in this morning with addictions, I'm telling you what, that the Holy Spirit is here. He will deliver you. He will set you free. You say, this guy's wound up this morning. He's saying a lot. Yeah, I am saying a lot because you know what? There's a people are dying and going to hell. You know, you always say, woo, you know, this city is growing. You know, the fastest growing city in the universe is hell. The Bible says that it's enlarged its territories. I believe it's because hell was never intended for God's people. It was intended for Satan and his demons. But because of our disobedience, our selfishness, our people are dying and going to a place they were never intended to go. And can you literally live your life knowing that the people you love that are closest to you are going to die and go to hell because we don't want to offend them? So what I'm saying is, yes, we are helping the people in North Carolina, and that's where I want to go too, because pastor gets a lot of abuse. We got people who've quit this church or get huffy when we talk about ladies' conference and we talk about these things. I'm not saying I agree with everything that goes on, but I tell you this. I'm working on it because I'm human. My analytical mind. But I will tell you this, I always give because you know what? Just because I don't understand it doesn't mean I can't give to it. There are things, I don't understand all the complexities of the stock market, but I know if I give to it here, I'm going to get more money over here. So why not invest in the kingdom of God and watch God change this world? And you say, this church, what? Look at what we have done. I've been there through times when this church was in dire situations, but I do remember the one time I ever had a spiritual dream. It was a dream, and this is interesting. It's talking about Moses was in the backside of the desert for 40 years, right, Pastor? And it's amazing that this church is going to be paid off in 40 years. But in this dream, I saw a man, and I believe it to be Moses. I guess I know what he looks like now spiritually. But I knew because of just his apparel. And I said, where's the water? And he said, solid rock. And he had the staff in it. Yeah, I believe it. So I believe that God is going to do something in this church in these last days. When the world is burning down around us, I believe God's going to do a work, not only in Farmington or in the United States, but to the uttermost parts of the world. And he's going to begin to raise up missionaries in this church. And we are going to confess that every member is a minister. When you're on the job, our people are going to get the best benefits, the best pay. We're going to have the favor of God because, you know what, we don't work for man. We work for God. And this is real. This is what we believe. This is the heart of this ministry. I know I'm throwing a lot, but I believe the Spirit just wants me to throw this out there and let it take hold that God loves you and has a plan for your life. And I believe from this day forward, there's going to be people in here that are changed. And so hook up with mission trips. You want to go on a mission trip? Don't complain. Nobody's paying for it. Let's outwork that crackhead and let's go get something done. Get the second job and let's go build the kingdom of God. What are you doing?
Whew. Pop, are you coming back up?
Yes.
Okay, come back up. While he's coming back up, I want to say, everybody look at Mr. Gary. Mr. Gary, raise your hand. How many of you have a daughter? Raise your hand. Mr. Gary has a daughter who needs a kidney transplant. There are about 100 people here today. What if all of us just put a little money in our hand and walked by Mr. Gary in that wheelchair and shook his hand as we were leaving and put a little money in his hand? You know, somebody used to do that to Luke's mom all the time. It's how she paid her bills. It's how she fed her kids. Somebody would walk by with money in the hand, give a little handshake. It's a handshake with a bonus. Mr. Gary's daughter needs a kidney transplant. She needs a kidney. You know who's given the kidney? Mr. Gary's other daughter. Let that stir your heart this morning. And I want to encourage every one of you. to get in your wallet, to get in your billfold, and before you leave today, you love on that man and you tell him, number one, I'm praying for your girls. And number two, here's a little money to help. Yeah, they're having the fundraiser at Steak and Shake. And we can all go and do that, but we can all dig in our pocket and get a little money and love on that man, because that man loves and loves and loves on people all the time. And both of his girls are having surgery, and it has to be a scary place to be. And we can pray. It's Wednesday. We can pray, and we can love on him this morning. Agreed? Amen. Amen.